Good morning, everybody, and welcome to, let me hit my little button. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Coachella Valley Conservation Committee meeting for Thursday, June 10th, 2021. We're still on virtual mode due to the state of emergency for COVID-19. However, public comments are welcome via phone, via email, and or via our Zoom format. At this time, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order, and I believe we've got Katie doing our roll call today since Trisha's on vacation. KD.
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. Here we go. Cathedral City.
Here, Rita Lamb.
Coachella.
They'll be here eventually.
Desert Hot Springs.
Present, Gary Gardner.
Indian Wells.
Present.
Indio.
Hello, good morning.
La Quinta.
President Lynn Devins for La Quinta.
Palm Desert.
Kathleen Kelly for Palm Desert.
Palm Springs.
Present.
Rancho Mirage.
Good morning. Richard Kite for Rancho Mirage.
Riverside County District 1.
Present. Glenn Miller.
Riverside County District 2.
Present. Kathleen Fitzpatrick.
Riverside County District 3.
Here. Harnick.
Riverside County District 4. Riverside County District 5.
Wes Martin, alternate for Supervisor Jeff Hewitt.
Coachella Valley Water District.
Here.
Imperial Irrigation District. Mission Springs Water District.
Present, Nancy Wright, here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Great, thank you very much. This time we'll move on to item number 3, which is public comments on agenda items. I'm going to have public comments, but remember, this is the opportunity for the public to provide information or feedback on any items for the agenda. Any non-agenda items we'll call upon later. And for those attending our meeting, if you are not one of our panelist voting members, please raise your hand if you're on the remote Zoom format and or press *9 if you'd like to make a public comment. And we'll go ahead and have our clerk for the day, Katie, share the public comment that has been received for item 6C.
Yes, for the record, we have a public comment from Osmet Land Trust in support of item 6C, which was emailed to the commission prior to the meeting. So you all should have that.
And Madam Chair, we also have at least two members of the public that would like to speak. One is Randy Binder and the other is Mark Garrison.
So let's call upon them now.
All right. Randy, do you want to get started?
Sure. You're going alphabetical. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Appreciate the opportunity. All city leaders, hello. Please put your phones on mute. Randy Binder on behalf of the Bighorn Institute, here to speak in favor of item number 6A, your fiscal year budget. It includes an appropriate expenditure for the long-awaited La Quinta fence and also a staff position dedicated to the CVCC management and monitoring activities, which I think is a really good idea. The Bighorn Institute hopes your budget is approved and that Tom is able to use his magic to execute the PGA Access License Agreement and we can move forward on this mush cap requirement. I'd like to thank Katie Barrows for her patience and diligent ways about her. And I know you all know what an asset she is to your organizations. And finally, if I have 30 seconds left, belated happy birthday to my friend Richard Kite. Hello to Madam Mayor Kathleen Kelly and favorite council person Jan Harnick. And Principal Lamb, Candace is getting married next spring. How about that?
He's been scrolling social media.
What's that? Randy. What's that?
I said, have you been scrolling social media for all the latest happenings?
No, that's his daughter is getting married.
Oh, his daughter. Congratulations.
She was in kindergarten at Carter, I think, the first there that year they opened. And Rita was the principal there.
Wow.
And she met her fiance at UC Riverside, and it was 9 years ago. And finally, he asked her, and they're getting married next June in Julian at Sacred Mountain.
Not exciting.
Awesome.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Very
Principal good. Lamb, Ava is still not getting married.
Oh.
She's not.
Not everybody responds to her.
Cute. Congratulations to all of you.
Do we need to add a routine agenda item
for Randy?
Find out who's getting married.
No, maybe in another committee.
Yeah, only if they went to Principal Lamb School.
All right. And before I call on Mark Garrison, I just have a question for Richard Kite. When is your birthday, Richard?
June 7th.
All right. Mine was June 5th. Go Geminis.
Yay.
All right. We have a public comment request. And just for the record, please note that City of Coachella Mayor Steve Hernandez is joining us. We can go ahead and allow Mark Garrison the floor, please, Katie.
Hi there. Well, clearly this is Jane Garrison.
Okay, hi, Jane.
I realize that my husband must have been using my laptop this morning, so, but I'm definitely not Mark. I'm Jane Garrison. I'm the executive director of Osewit Land Trust. As you know, we submitted written comments as well. Just want to say that we are very much in support of item 6C, the acquisition of the 42 plus acres from the city of Palm Springs. We are based in the city of Palm Springs. And as you all may know, we are very interested and working toward the acquisition of the 4,000 acres that adjoin this property. And we are willing to take title of the non-conservation parcels that are adjoining. So that's why we are very in support of 6C, and we're excited to see that move ahead. And I'm available for any questions you may have.
Thank you, Jane. Appreciate the support. And we did receive the letter, so we appreciate that as well.
Great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Say hello to Mark for us.
Yeah, will do.
Okay. Anything else that's come in, Katie, since the beginning of the meeting for public comments on agenda items?
I don't see that anything. I've seen.
Okay.
I have right. Anybody else with their hand up?
Nobody else, right. I don't see anything either. Thank you for keeping watch as well. All right, I'll move on to item number four, which is commission chair and director's announcements. And let's go ahead and have staff lead initially. And go ahead, you starting off.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Randy Binder's comments were important on a couple of notes. One related to Katie Barrows, and he appreciated her hard work on the sheep fence. And I know you all appreciate all of her hard work on behalf of conservation in the Coachella Valley. She is retiring. September 1st. I know. And I do want to have a motion in a second not to honor that retirement and reject.
So moved.
So moved.
Perfect. We have a couple slides I want to show you, and I want to say a few words about Katie, and I suspect a few of you might have something to say as well. If you could go through these slides. You see Katie and Cam and Katie and the staff and Katie and Bill Habert. Bill is on the line as well. Next slide. Of course, Katie doesn't just work on behalf of the Conservation Commission, she works on behalf of Desert Community Energy as well. And last slide. And I've been, Katie's wanted me to make that announcement for a couple of years. And pardon me, I've got a still a little bit of a scratchy throat, as the mayor knows. And this announcement's been postponed a few times. When she retires on September 1st, she's not entirely retiring. I've encouraged her to stay on board and help us with Desert Community Energy. So she'll stay on board and work a few hours, but I don't think you're gonna see her much at Conservation Commission meetings, at least not as a staff person. And I'd like you to believe that she postponed retirement because of all the begging and the crying that I've done, encouraging her to stay on board. But that's not why she stayed on board. Katie does not leave business unfinished. And Randy alluded to that. Bill Habert knows that. Cam Barrows is also on the line. He knows that. Katie, you know Katie is smart. Sharp as a tack, knows her business, and her perseverance is probably her best quality, and we're going to miss that. And the sheet fence is an example of that. And Mayor, you and I talked about the sheet fence a few years ago, and I think I told you and the former city manager, I would bet against us ever getting it accomplished. But the one thing I've learned about Katie Barrows is don't bet against Katie Barrows. And we saw that with the sheet fence. We certainly saw it with the multiple species plan itself. And some of you know, before Katie worked here at CVAG, and Katie, has it been 15 years thereabouts? She worked for Bill and with the Mountains Conservancy, and she was a part of the formation of the plan to begin with. So we're gonna miss Katie in a big, big way. And Katie has not been, one of the other attributes that I think you all appreciate about Katie is she is not driven by some religious zeal to get something done and ignore the practical realities out there. She does things pragmatically and thoughtfully. She's gonna be missed at this table, and she's gonna be missed by her staff, and she's gonna be missed by the rest of CVAG staff, and she's gonna be particularly missed by this executive director. Madam Chair, that's the extent of my comments. I'm sure you might have some as well. Mm-hmm. I'd certainly like to give Katie the floor at some point too.
Sure, thank you very much, Tom. Yes, and while I can echo what Tom has stated, I haven't quite seen him cry over the issue, but it would be entertaining for me to say the least. But I too, I think that I've been on council since 2009, and this was one of the committees that was assigned to me, CVCC and E&E. And so it was a learning curve, and I'm gonna ask Richard Kite to say a few words too, because he chaired long before I did. And just understanding the process of conservation and the balance. And that's one of the things I remember learning early on from Katie. I thought that, you know, that initially she might have been a crazy tree hugger. That was only after the little critters, and and she kind of is a little bit, but that's okay. It's kind of in the family. But she also has, you know, really understood and has expressed that there's that balance between development and economy and community, as well as conservation, and has persevered in achieving the requirements of the habitat plan, multi-species habitat plan, in addition to, you know, representing her community and this entire valley in a number of ways. So I was kind of looking back on some of the agendas from years ago and just understanding the land acquisition process, understanding the background story on some of the components that would come before us on this committee. And of course, the monitoring studies and either who's doing them or what are the results really showing and what does this mean for us going forward. And Katie's always been instrumental in providing that guidance. Just in terms of the depth of knowledge she has and how she perseveres to make sure she gets it done. And one of the things that is just so commendable that there's an extreme effectiveness with everything she touches. And yet a lot of it is kind of behind the scenes. I mean, she's doing this without necessarily being out there in the forefront, even though she's leading that charge. And clearly the sheep fence issue is probably one of the more tenuous since I've served on this commission that she's had to contend with, but also just an advocate for trails, for city history, for valley history. And I'm thankful that we'll still have access to her even post-retirement in a small limited capacity. And hopefully she'll be able to glean some knowledge on whoever might be replacing her position. But I too want to thank you for being part of the fabric of the community of our city of La Quinta and the CVAG family and what you've brought to this commission and the others that you've served along the way. And it's impressive. I've learned a lot from you, Katie, and I appreciate all that you've done, and I wish you all the best. I know you're not going very far. I'll see you out there, but and I'll hear from you. But I wish you all the best, and thank you so much for all of the years of service. And before I turn it over to my fellow council member, Kathleen, former chair, Richard Kite, would you like to add some flair to the Katie send-off?
Sure would. Katie and I worked a long time together in Rancho Mirage and La Quinta. I think she was tired of me continuing to ask, well, what's going on with the bighorn fence? She and I worked together in Rancho Mirage, and we worked together on the bump and grind, the famous bump and grind of the valley. So can't get around all the important things that she has done, and certainly she will be missed by all of us. But we'll find her, we'll get her involved. And Katie, you've done a great job. Rancho Mirage, really thanks you for everything that you've done. And the valley will be that much better because of her.
Well said. Kathleen?
Yeah, I just want to pick up on some of the things that you said, Linda. My first exposure to Katie was when she was on planning commission in the city of La Quinta. My husband and I went to a planning commission meeting to listen to what was happening in the Madison Club, which is right next door to our development. And was impressed with her then, and I'm still impressed with her continuing battle to make sure that our community is great. And I know that that's part of how she sees the larger picture of life, that it starts on a community level and goes global from there. And we appreciate her. And I failed retirement. So I have one word of advice for you, Katie Barrows. Do not go to coffee with Linda Evans or Robert Ratty, because it usually leads to larger commitments. So hike with them, enjoy them, but don't go to coffee with them, because that seems to be where you get serious conversation. So enjoy your retirement. It's well-deserved. And I'm sure that, you and your family will enjoy the ability to be able to hike more frequently and to enjoy nature more frequently. So, like I said, be careful who you have coffee with. And I know I'll see you around.
Yeah, she gets to enjoy the fruits of her own labor.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. We appreciate having you still active in the Cove communities and still active in the city of La Quinta. So, Amen. Don't forget, you can still volunteer. So thank you, Katie. We appreciate you.
Mayor Hernandez.
Yeah, I just want to echo all of those comments. My experience with an interaction with Katie goes back to the working through this plan, the CV, MSACP, and some of the conversations that we had early on with folks like Carolyn Sims Luna and Carolyn Watzbazan and John Womack back in the day, and the relationships that Katie had with the wildlife agencies and still maintains with the wildlife agencies, I think has been why this plan has been successful. And we're going to miss that. That's an institutional knowledge, but from the inception of the plan, but as well as just relationships that are needed in order to work through some of some disagreements or agreements or whatever it is that we need to kind of just strike a balance to continue to see success in this plan. So I remember the wars. I remember all of the. The good conversations that transpired in order to get this plan done, but you are going to be missed. And I also know that you're only a phone call away, or maybe even a trail away, where we can converse with you and still get your expertise to continue to move this plan forward. So we appreciate you and Godspeed on your retirement.
Thank you. Yes, round of applause, and I'm going to hand it over to Katie. All right, the floor is yours, Ms. Barrows. You're muted.
Wow. Whoops. Can you hear me? Yes.
Yeah, you're good.
Well, thank you, everyone. That was tremendous. And I'm greatly appreciative. I wanted to just relate. Yesterday, we had an opportunity for many of the staff of CVAG to go out to the Coachella Valley Preserve, to the sand dunes, to see a fringe-toed lizard, which some of our staff had not done before. So we had a beautiful field trip with Dr. Barrows, who I owe a great deal to, my husband from UCR. And I wanted to just relate that one of the things that I told them about, we talked a little bit about the history of the Coachella Valley Preserve being established. And what I pointed out to them is how important the leadership that we have in the Coachella Valley by our elected officials, meaning all of you, has been to the multiple species plan and all of the other great things that are going on in this valley. So I really want to just thank you all for the leadership that you've taught me about. I really appreciate too that this is a team effort, and we have a great staff here at CVAG. I'm fortunate to be working with Tom. He's always been very supportive of all of the things that we try to do, the Environmental Resources Department, but you guys all really show the commitment and the dedication. That is an example to all of us, and I just really appreciate that. It's just a tremendous pleasure and honor for me to work with you. And I do intend to do more hiking than I've been able to do in the recent past. I appreciate very much that when in the early days I got out in the field a lot, and these days I don't very much. But I also wanted to let you know that I've got some plans, and Randy Binder has agreed. I don't know if he knows this yet, but he's going to help us put together a crew of volunteers that are going to help us monitor the Bighorn sheep fence when we get it built. Randy, I'm recruiting you for that job, since you've always been so supportive of the sheep, and we'll probably be calling you all to see if you want to go out. And I'm teasing a little bit, but I think I do intend to get involved in some volunteer activities of different kinds. But in any case, I'm just greatly appreciative. It's been a tremendous opportunity for me, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm here in the community, and I do want to continue to be a part of the great things that happen. And in particular, I want to acknowledge Bill Havert, since Bill's on the line, who really was the driving force behind the multiple species plan, put the plan together, and taught me a lot as his staff person at the Mountains Conservancy. I have to acknowledge my husband, and again, thank Tom for all the great support and guidance that you've given me. So thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. And let's get our business done. Do more great things for the Valley. Thank you.
Yay. All right, I don't see any other hands up. Katie, do we have anybody else requesting to speak that may be listening in? Bill or anybody else? If not, we will still have time before the meeting's over. Let's go ahead and continue. Let's move on. Thank you again, Katie. Thank you. Let's move on to our consent. Please note for the record, we've got Supervisor Perez, District 5, in attendance as well. Consent calendar, where there's four items on the consent calendar. If there's no questions or comments regarding those, I'll entertain a motion.
For the move to approve.
Kathleen second. Kelly, Paul Desert.
Second, District 2.
And second, District 2, thank you. There is a motion second. All those in favor, please say aye. Wiggle some fingers. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? We'll say that motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much. Move on to Section 6, our discussion action section. First item. Oh, Claude. You and me again.
It
huh?
is
you
us. The rest of us. All of us.
Fiscal year 2021-22 agency-wide programs and individual funds budget by Claude Kilgore. Sorry.
Kilgore.
And this is obviously to adopt the CVCC budget for the coming year.
That's all right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair Evans. And I just found out we have a birthday twin, you and I. So happy belated birthday, and to Council Member Kite as well. Happy belated birthday. Good morning, illustrious commissioners. It's nice to see you all and to be seen. And really, since last time we've seen each other, the staff here at CVAG on behalf of CVCC has been working diligently to prepare the 21-22 fiscal year budget, which I'll walk you through now. Let's look at what we're going to talk about here. So the first, we're going to go over some budgetary overview, a little high level of revenue and expenditures, and then we'll go through some agency-wide highlights. And let's just jump into it. Oh, well, really, before I do that, how could I move on without thanking the Finance Committee? So we met a couple times this year to go over the audit, and then also we met last week to review the budget. I got some really great input from the committee. And again, I want to express my gratitude. Being somewhat green to government agencies and new to CVAG and CVCC, I really could not have been as confident presenting this budget without the help of the Finance Committee. So I just want to take a moment and recognize them. now our chair, Linda Evans, Mayor of La Quinta. Thank you so much for being on the committee, as well as Stephen Hernandez, our vice chair out of Coachella. Mayor Hernandez, thank you for being on the committee. And then we have our finance director over at Indian Wells, Kevin McCarthy. I'm not sure if Kevin's on the line, but I definitely want to shout out him and all of his help he's provided me. And of course, council member Gardner from Desert Hot Springs. Thank you so much. You know, if I had an award, I'd give it to you. It wouldn't be a presentation one either. It'd be achievement, because I'm very grateful to work with you. So I just really want to express that now, and continue to look forward to working with you in the future as well. So thank you very much. And we look forward to a fun year next year as well. All right, well, let's jump into some numbers. Basically, the revenues for CBCC can be broken down into four main funds. There's other funds that don't have much going on that just kind of sit there, the Lieu Fund and things like that. But the four main revenue generators are the General Admin Fund, the Land Acquisition Fund, the Endowment Fund, and of course, the Management and Monitoring Fund. I have denoted with the M&M there. So let's just jump in. General admin. So what makes up the general admin fund? Well, that's a dump pile, and that's little dollars flying to the commission. Those are tipping fees we get from Vertec and other people who dollar per ton there. And we're expecting that to be relatively stable for the general admin fund going into next year. It's about a $440,000 revenue, pretty much consistent with previous years. And the general admin fund does go to pay for our meeting attendance stipends, which you'll see on the expenditure side if you were to look at the budget. And then we'll move on to the revenues and land acquisition. So land acquisition, a big chunk of revenues come from the LDMF fees that we get from the cities and other fees we collect from the permittees of the multiple species plan. And those revenues come in and they're split up between the land acquisition fund gets 83%. And you'll see where we talk about the management and monitoring fund later, we'll get the other 17 of that. So for the LDMF and other permit fees that we're receiving, I worked with our regional planner and of course, Ms. Barrows, who really worked with the CVBA, the DVBA, I'm sorry, the Builders Association. And they were evaluating what's gonna happen with the market next year. And really based on three key areas, you know, we decided to conservatively budget revenues down 10%. And that's mostly related to there's been a lot of development projects in the area that are closing out now. And kind of that lag between initiation and project construction can really take several years. Another issue we looked at was numerous things on the supply side. I'm sure you've seen all the shipping containers stuck in the port of LA. So there's definitely a shortage in materials and labor, and that's going to make starting new construction a little difficult. And of course, there's an anticipated rise in interest rates. So that might cool the development market as well. So again, we feel like the 10% down is a little conservative, but we thought that'd be the prudent way to budget going forward for the next fiscal year. And actually it's gonna be offset with $2.6 million of revenue. That's new revenue coming in from Caltrans, the land acquisition fund. So that's really gonna substantially bring the fund balance up there. Well, let's go on to the endowment. We're also gonna be getting funds from Caltrans. I believe it's about 900,000 projected for the next fiscal year. And of course, CVAG also pays to the endowment fund every year. I believe we budgeted 500,000 this year as was contributed last year to the endowment fund. And with the Caltrans revenue in there, we're actually looking at a 42% increase in revenue to the endowment fund based on last year's budgeted amount. So that's also pretty exciting. So we talked about the LDMF and permittee fees. The 17% of those are allocated to the management and monitoring fund, which again, we're conservatively estimating a 10% decrease in revenue there. But the fund also has grants coming in. So that's a positive. So they get the LDMF fees, they get grants. And in addition to that, they get what we like to call a cash infusion. They get a cash infusion from the endowment fund. And in the coming year, we're looking to bring that, that infusion is gonna be about $367,000. So that's what's going on the revenue side on our funds. And well, we can just move on to expenditures unless anyone has a question on that. I'm not hearing it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on then to expenditures. So most of our expenditures, as you can imagine, are in our management and monitoring fund and in the land acquisition fund. So what's going on in management and monitoring next year? Well, grants, right? So there's basically two classes of expenditures for management and monitoring. We have the grants, and then we have regular funds. So on the grant side, we're looking to get about $250,000 of those grants for things like the tamarisk removal, which we know is a huge invasive species all over the valley, definitely at our North Shore Ranch property. Ms. Brundage and her teams are working to get that removed, and other grants are gonna be used to you recently seen last month to help tag the tortoise there and monitor that species. And other than the grants, we say we get regular funds and they're expecting about $800,000 of expenditures from those regular funds. And as was mentioned in public comment, recommending the additional staff person, we have budgeted one additional staff person to help with the management and monitoring fund. And I do wanna commend the commissioners, you know, in attendance at the meetings and the finance committee. It's always a first priority that I've heard several commissioners here bring up the fact that, look, we've got all this land acquired, we need to start monitoring it. And I'm glad to see that, that's happening this year. So, pending approval of this budget. So that's a part of the expenditure will be going to a new staff person, as well as our ongoing contract with the University of California Riverside. And again, we're gonna be spending some funds on more tortoise tracking. And we have some big horn sheep monitoring. And my new favorite is a little yellow bat. So we're gonna be doing some studies with the yellow bat. And that's a look at what's going on the expenditures and management and monitoring. And it's hard to not mention the management and monitoring contingency fund when we're talking about management and monitoring. So that fund was set up to cover some of these land improvements. And in the next fiscal year, we're hoping for a cash infusion of about $1.8 million as an operating transfer in to cover the bighorn sheep fence up in La Quinta. So that's another expenditure that's gonna be coming out of that fund and into the management and monitoring fund. On the land acquisition side, of course, we have a contract, well, several of them, but the main contract we utilize with the Coachella Valley Mountains Conservancy is to utilize their expertise in helping us acquire land. It actually saves us a lot of costs from real estate fees and appraisals like that. So we're happy to work with them in the coming year as well and get to acquiring more land. And we have budgeted a very optimistic $7.6 million of land acquisitions. And that's gonna be split up from coming in from the CVCC permit fees and the advanced mitigation dollars. So that's the Caltrans funds we talked about coming in. So we're hoping to use permit fees for about $5 million and advanced mitigation dollars, that Caltrans money, for about $2.6 million. So that's a look at where we're going with management and monitoring, as well as land acquisition. And those are most of the expenditures of the fund. So I guess I'll ask again if we want to take any questions to go over anything on the expenditure side.
Questions for Claude? Nope. All right.
Okay. I like this. Good. Well, we answered all the questions of the finance committee, I think. So if you have any, feel free to continue to reach out. Well, let's just look at a couple high level graphs here. So we get a big picture, and this is last year. So this is last year's budgeted revenues and expenditures. You can see we budgeted about $13 million of expenditures with about $5 million of revenue. However, in this year, you can see that we're actually going to be contracting on the expenditure side and growing on the revenue side. So I think that's a really positive outlook from my finance side, at least there. Really, that's the overview of the budget. I think you've all had it in front of you since last week. And the staff's recommendation, my recommendation at this time is for each of you commissioners and the commission as a whole to go ahead and adopt the CVCC budget for next fiscal year.
Thank you very much, Claude. It looks like we have a question from Jan.
Oh, yes,
thank you.
Pro Tem Harnick.
This is an easy one, I think. Okay. Why is Caltrans giving that money?
Caltrans is giving that money from an agreement, I believe, that's been in place that predates me, and I know those funds are going to be going.
I'll handle that, Claude.
Sure.
Like CVAG and CBWD and IID, the big agencies also pay mitigation fees. And we're used to talking about the development mitigation fees that builders pay. All of us are paying to get our projects permitted. And you can imagine Caltrans has lots of projects in the region, and they are a permittee under the plan, and they have certain responsibilities. In fact, millions of dollars of responsibilities to pay into the plan. And Commissioner, you of course participate in RCTC too. Just like RCTC pays into the Western plan, all of our transportation agencies here pay into our plan.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Questions regarding the budget? Yes.
We have, you know, the LDMF fee, if it's on tribal land and they have their own habitat conservation fee, do we double charge them for a development, or how does that work?
No, we do not.
So it's, you pay one or the other?
You do.
Great, thank you.
And Commissioner, it is a little different than the TUMF fee. And for the Agua Caliente, they do collect essentially an in-lieu TUMF for development that is not tribal related. And then they also negotiate with the underlying city. If it's a tribal development, they again, they pay an in-lieu TUMF that gets transferred to CVAG.
Thank you.
Good question, actually. Yeah, learned that. Anything else? Supervisor Hewitt, thanks for joining us. All right, this is an action item. So if there are no further questions, I'll take a motion to adopt the CVCC budget for 2021-2022 fiscal year.
I move we adopt the budget for 21-22.
Desert Hot Springs motions.
Second Rancho Mirage.
All right, I heard Indian Wells beat you to the punch this time, Richard. So Donna and Indian Wells, seconds. I'll say all those in favor, please say hi and wiggle your eye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstain? Seeing none, that motion passes unanimously. Yay, we got another budget done.
Yay, thank you, commissioners.
Yes, thank you. And thank you again, like you said, to the group that participated in finance committee and doesn't grill you too much, but Claude has had a steep learning curve and has done an outstanding job. Item B is—
That he has, good work, Claude.
Yes. Item B, donation of approximately 248 acres in connection with the Mountain View Power Partners Wind Repower Project. And it looks like Peter's going to be presenting with Eric.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good morning, Madam Chair, fellow commissioners. As the chair just mentioned, I'll be presenting today on a 248 acre donation in association with the Mountain View Power Project Repower. Next slide, please. So the project is generally located between just south of I-10 and north of State Route 11 in unincorporated Riverside County. Just south of the State Route 62 interchange is generally located by the star. More specifically, you can see the project here. It's that grid with the little wind turbine showing up. You can see that the western portion of the project actually overlaps with the Whitewater Floodplain Conservation Area. And this conservation area is an important sand transport corridor and biological linkage. So there's a lot of good habitat within that conservation area that the project itself actually isn't having any impact over. So MVPP, Mountain View Power Partners, have identified this portion of a parcel outlined in red as essentially not required for their project and are choosing to donate that land to CVCC for its perpetual conservation. It's, as we mentioned, just shy of 248 acres. It contains great habitat for Leconte's thrasher and the Palm Springs pocket mouse, as well as maintaining key biological linkages and sand transport corridors. the entirety of this 240 acres will be credited to CBCC's conservation goals. So with that, go to the next slide. We are recommending that the commission approve the resolution to accept the donation property and authorize the executive director to negotiate all necessary agreements and complete the donation. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Peter. Questions for Peter? Donations we like.
Not eating into the budget. So.
Right, right. Still allocate the dollars for monitoring, of course, but no, that's it. And Katie Barrows, on our conservation tour, that was somewhat over that range to the right when we're out there watching the helicopter tour utility poles. Is that correct? Is that somewhere in that vicinity?
The property's between Highway 111 and Highway 10, kind of just by, went out to Snow Creek, and it's a little bit to the east of that.
East of that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Very good. All right. If there's no questions, I'll entertain a motion for staff recommendation.
I'll make that motion. This is Elaine from Indio.
Thank you.
Second, Supervisor Hewitt.
District 4. There's a motion and second. All those in favor, please say aye. Wiggle some fingers. Aye.
Aye.
Ayes. Any opposed? Abstained? Seeing none, motion passes unanimously. Excellent. All right. Item D, again, that was also the one that we, item C, acquisition of approximately 42.3 plus or minus acres from the City of Palm Springs in accordance with the Surplus Land Act. And Jim's going to be reporting on this. And again, this was the letter of support from the Oswett group that we heard from during public comment that is in support of this acquisition as well. Go ahead, Jim.
Good morning, commissioners. This is an exciting one. It's 42.3 acres. And we'll go to the slide. It is, the star comes up. It's above 111 near Gene Autry, if you're coming from a distance. It's above the Rimrock Rock Shopping Center. And I think the next slide will give us the outline. There it is. If you've ever hiked in the so-called goat trails, you've walked by this or probably on part of it on some of the social trails that are there. It's in the City of Palm Springs. It's in the Santa Rosa, San Jacinto Mountains Conservation Area. That conservation area, of course, is very important for the bighorn sheep, for other species, for water resources, and for its scenic value. This particular parcel is one of many in the vicinity that the conservation community has been trying to get for about 30 years. Having this parcel not developed is important for all the reasons I just mentioned, scenic value and water resources, and as part of the continuously conserved area that supports the bighorn sheep. As I think Jane Garrison mentioned, we are negotiating with the owner of the adjacent parcels behind here, the so-called Palm Hills parcels. We having that appraised, and there's a fairly good chance that we will be able to bring that to you in the near future, and that will be just fantastic to acquire that much land. But even if we don't, this is important land. It's adjacent to tribal land. It's near BLM land and Friends land, so that makes for potential joint monitoring and maintenance opportunities. It is an area that is frequented by hikers and environmentally conscious hikers, I would note. We don't anticipate problems with dumping to the extent of some of the other properties that are more remote. Indeed, I think that the hiking community is very protective of this area. And so I don't think we'll have a lot of difficulty with dumping or OHV or those sorts of things here. The total cost is $460,000 plus costs not to exceed $7,500. The per acre cost is about $10,800. That's in line with what we've been paying. The Shadow Rock purchase a few years ago, several years ago now, was over $12,000 an acre. The Suzanne Summers parcel in Snow Creek a couple years ago was about $6,000 an acre. So developable land is, of course, more expensive. A final note, this was offered to us through the city's or through the State Surplus Land Act process where the city of Palm Springs has to go through a process of advertising land to various public agencies. We were one of those public agencies, and we made expressed our interest, and they came back and they offered it to us. It did go through an appraisal process, and the $460,000 is the fair market value currently. So full funding is available in this the land acquisition fund that Claude described to you recently. And with that, staff recommends the approval of Resolution 21-006 to authorize acquisition of this parcel. I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you very much, Jim. And before I request questions, by the last item, my apologies, Supervisor Hewitt, District 5 seconded that after. Yeah. You know, I keep thinking as you move towards the east border, it should just go 1, 2, 3. Anyway, sorry about that. I do that with Manny sometimes too. My apologies. Okay, questions for Jim. This is an exciting contribution to Palm Springs General Fund, I imagine. Right, Commissioner Woods?
Yes, absolutely. Just about take a minute. You know, we worked very hard. This was held in by a private developer, and so it had development potential on it. And the fact that we've gotten that out of the hands of a private developer into our hands and now into conservation hands is a huge move. And if there's no questions, I would move the item.
Excellent. Motion from Palm Springs.
Second.
Newton. Second from Supervisor Perez in District 4. Yes. All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Any opposition? Abstention? Seeing none, that motion passes unanimously. Excellent. Good ad. Very good ad. Yeah, I've hiked it. That's the Vaughn. I call it the Vaughn's hike, right? By the Vaughn's store. Yeah, up that path. Okay. Item 6D, which is the contract with the University of California Riverside Center for Conservation Biology to implement biological monitoring. And looks like our host, clerk host Katie, is going to be presenting.
Yes, thank you. Good morning again. So I am here today to talk to you about our annual contract with the University of California Riverside Center for Conservation Biology. They have been working with us for quite a long time on the plan before even the developing the protocols before the plan was signed into being, and then afterwards as you know, annual contractors for both our reptile plant and bird monitoring sometimes. So next slide, please. Each year, we have a process that we go through to bring the recommendations to the management and monitoring budget so that we can bring them in front of you for the annual budget, which was approved for 6A. And that process really helps us identify which priority species we want to focus on and which, you know, since with a limited budget, which species really need the attention of annual monitoring and or regular monitoring, excuse me, and management actions. So this year, tasks were prioritized through the Biological Working Group and Reserve Management Unit Committee, and then those go to the Reserve Management Oversight Committee, which then finalize the recommendations for the annual work plan and the budget, and those come to you as part of our management and monitoring. I should mention that UC Riverside, go ahead, next slide. So I should mention that UC Riverside is our professionals in both the reptile and Aeolian sand monitoring. And so our fringe-toed lizard, the up on the left-hand side, there's our illustrious fringe-toed lizard. And down at the bottom, you have the flat-tailed horn lizard, which is hidden halfway in the sand down there. And UC Riverside goes out every year, and they also monitor what other mammal species you might see in the sand. So if you've been out with their monitoring team, you know a lot of this is done through tracking, although we do visuals as well as sound. So there's a Palm Springs pocket mouse on the right-hand side. There's the giant sand treader cricket in the middle. And over there on the left between the two lizards is our Palm Springs round-tailed ground squirrel. So, and these are, especially the lizards, are required as the French-tailed lizard is required every year. So this helps us monitor both their ecosystem and see what other critters, listed critters as well as unlisted critters, are doing in the ecosystem and help us identify threats and stressors within that ecosystem as well. Next slide, please. This year, UCR will also be taking on expanded search for the Coachella Valley milk vetch on conservation lands that have been acquired, as well as the Little San Marino Mountains Lonanthus, which is down there in the bottom left. The beautiful milk vetch is up at the top right. And then they're taking on a new task this year. You might remember back in 2019, San Diego Natural History Museum completed the Lacan's thrasher monitoring. And one of the concerns that they had was that we are losing habitat for the Lacan's thrasher in the valley, specifically cylindrical choya. So up in the top left is a wonderful silver choya. And just kind of looking at how the birds nest in them, we're seeing a lot of degraded and dead choya in the lower regions of the valley. So UCR will be taking a look at their historical distribution as well as their present distribution and trying to give us a habitat model so that we can look at some possibilities for restoration in the valley. We don't want to be trying to restore where climate has already pushed the plant out of that particular climate envelope or soil area. So, next slide, please. Just to give you a little bit of background on a habitat model, this is what one would look like for a range-wide. This is for the Lacan's thrasher, and it was created back in 2014. And this really helps us guide our monitoring on the ground so we're not searching every inch of space. Each one of the observations that you see in yellow is used by UCR to put through a statistical model. And it measures everything from slope to elevation to soil type, any kind of variable that we want to put in there that we understand is important to the species. And that allows us to model where that species can be found on the ground. And that helps to direct the monitoring team to work in those particular places. So these habitat suitability models, they have to be updated every few years, especially as we gain more observations. So this is what UCR will be helping us with the plants this year. And with that, I wanted to just mention that every year, you know, we have these contracts come up, but in 2020, we had renegotiated our master research agreement with UCR, so that limits the overhead to 10%, in case you were wondering, from the budget. And yeah, so that's where we are. And I would be happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much. Questions for Katie on this? Wonderful. Yes, Commissioner Woods.
Thank you. Katie, how did we get to UCR? Did we do a RFP a while back or request for proposals? And are we redoing that every year? Or can you just kind of explain the purchasing process?
Yes, actually we did a proposal in our RFP in 2017. And it was for a duration of time. And we had firms apply to their what they feel their master's at. So we that was for all of the biological species. And then we were able to, that will take us through June 2022. So a new one will be coming out next spring. And we have multiple firms that have applied to that. But UCR was found as the preferred firm for both reptiles and the plant ecologists, and certain birds. So it's not, so we go to them for that. And that's kind of why we can choose for them for the annual work for the biological monitoring for this. But it will be back up for RFP this year. So.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that, given that question, since there are so many things we're monitoring, how many total, do we have about 6 or 7 monitoring groups, or are there more than that? Given every one of the little species in there and who's doing different pieces?
Currently we have about 4.
4? Okay.
Yeah. So we have the San Diego Natural History Museum. We have USGS, the Peninsular Bighorn Sheep Study and Recreation. Mm-hmm. The Tortoise Study is also USGS. We also have consultants looking at rail habitat, but that's... that's pretty much where we are. So. Okay. And UCR.
Yep. Very good. This is our final action item. If anybody would like to entertain a motion to authorize the executive director to execute the contract.
So moved, Bond Desert.
Thank you.
Indian Wells.
Thank you. We've got first from Palm Desert and second from Rancho Mirage. All those in favor, please say aye. Wiggle your fingers.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye. Aye.
Very much. Any opposition or abstention? Seeing none, that motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our final item under the discussion portion of Section 6 is E, which is the report on Civic Spark Fellowship Program activities. And I'll allow Katie Barrows to introduce Tori. And if you'll recall, she is our firecracker and she's got a lot of information to share with us. So Katie first and then Tori.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the commission. I just wanted to let you know Tori Brewster, who's been working with us since September, is finishing up her Civic Sparks Fellowship at the end of July. And since this is our last meeting before September, we wanted to have her give you a brief update on all the things that she's been working on for CVCC. But I also wanted to just appreciate the great work Tori has done for us. We hadn't participated in the Civic Spark program before. And Tori's been, I think, particularly patient given that she started with us in the COVID situation, working remotely and has been able to get out with us sometimes. But she's a graduate of UC University Redlands and is looking forward to a legal career in the environmental field at some point in the future. I think her plan in the next few years is to go to law school. So we're really impressed by that, but she's just been tremendous. She's worked very independently and has added a lot of value to CVCC. So she's going to give you a quick update on closing out the program that she'll finish up at the end of July. And I just wanted to say thanks to Tori. Go ahead, Tori.
Thank you, Katie, for those nice words, those kind words. I really appreciate all the guidance that I've received thus far from both Katie and KD. They're my site supervisors, and I've learned so much this service year. So I really appreciate their guidance. So with this, I have one of three projects that I've been working on, and one being the volunteer training program with CVCC. So the purpose of this project was to aid the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission's ability to track impacts on conservation lands and promote plant and animal persistence. From September through December, I worked on, next slide, please. I worked on recruitment and I developed training materials for the volunteers. From January through February, I trained the volunteers virtually. And from March through May, the volunteers went to the field to report information on land management issues. I coordinated this program with city, state, federal nonprofit partners. I consulted with Jennifer Prado from Friends of the Desert Mountains, Dr. Cameron Barrows, his volunteer program with UCR students, and Sarah Greeley with the Living Desert Zoo. Their volunteer programs they've been providing information on their volunteer programs to help me with training purposes, recruitment purposes, so they've been very helpful. We utilized the training materials that I developed to educate volunteers to identify threats to habitat and native species. We trained the volunteers virtually on their responsibilities, their risks in the field, invasive species, and art collector. The volunteers were trained to record information on land management issues, such as signage, invasive species, off-road vehicles, illegal dumping, and broken fence lines. They were also inputting data on burrowing owls. So we went over a risk assessment during our training, such as wind, UV, inclines, rolled ankles, and snakes, of course. I created an invasive species guide to help the volunteers identify local invasive species. This is a slide from my invasive species guide. I had descriptions of these invasive species in an earlier slide, followed by pictures with descriptions that were arrowed to some of the descriptive qualities of these invasive species. We trained the volunteers to use Art Collector. In the next slide, we have a picture of what the volunteers would see on their phones or their tablets when we recorded information. They would select an issue or input data on signs, and then they would add a point with and a description, a picture, describing what they were seeing out in the field. After training the volunteers, we scheduled them for field visits. Both the volunteers and I enjoyed taking a break from remote learning and remote working to visit assets and record information. So the volunteers, we had 4 great volunteers from the University of Redlands, and they've been very helpful in making time to come out to the field. And I know they've expressed their enjoyment to get some field work experience in. I know they don't have many in-person classes anymore, so that's been a great change of pace for both me and the volunteers. During this period, I also created additional resources for the program. It gave us a great opportunity to learn about what was working for the program and what wasn't. It became difficult to coordinate schedules, so I came up with an Excel spreadsheet for the volunteers to input information about their schedule and update it week to week. I also developed a framework for leadership roles, so we did not have the volunteers go out in groups this season, but in future seasons, volunteers can get more experience in these leadership positions. They'll have the opportunity to take field notes and reflect on site visits and even schedule and coordinate field work amongst themselves. This will provide for a more engaging and educational experience for these volunteers. In addition, I have developed a framework for recruitment and outreach. So future recruitment opportunities will be with UCR, University of Redlands, College of the Desert. So this is a picture of one of our volunteers from the University of Redlands who made it out many times to the field. It's been very helpful. And I've also provided communication materials such as flyers for the agency staff to increase public awareness of the volunteer program, as well as promote the volunteer program at the local colleges. So these are examples of some of the flyers that I put together. And lastly, again, I'm so grateful for the help and guidance I've received from my site supervisors. I'm excited to stay in touch and see this program grow.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Any questions for Tori? I just want to say that it's been great to hear the updates along the way of starting your journey with your fellowship and what you wanted to tackle, and then and hearing and summarizing the end result. And you had a unique opportunity to have supervisors or site supervisors that had the depth of experience and knowledge of our area and topics you were covering. So I'm sure it was a good exchange for all of you, and we wish you the best in your future endeavors if law school is in your near future.
Thank you.
Visit us anytime.
I will, of course.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's see. Information items are in number 7. And feel free to read those on your own and email Tom if you've got any questions. We'll move on to public comments on non-agenda items. Before I provide instructions, do we have any public comments on non-agenda items, Katie, to announce?
I don't see anybody with their hand up.
Okay. With that, we'll look at announcements and upcoming meeting dates. Our next CVCC meeting is Thursday, September 9th. And that would be why we gave some accolades and appreciation and thanks to Katie Barrows. She won't be joining us at that meeting, but she might be listening remote. Yes, thank you again. And it'll be again 10:30 via Zoom. We are, as you noticed on the information sessions, looking for feedback on how to incorporate in-person and or virtual meetings going forward from a resource standpoint and convenience standpoint. And then obviously General Assembly for all of us is coming up on Monday, June 28th. Also, via Zoom, and record attendance last year on a virtual, which was interesting. I'm sure staff, I've already heard from our CVAG Executive Committee Chair Miller that Cantaloupes will be coming from Blythe and Joey. So the husband always looks forward to that. And with that,
Madam Chair, real quick.
Yes.
I wanted to share. I wanted to plant a seed with a few folks here. Tom, do you have that picture I set up?
We do.
We all know we have a lot of trash problems in the desert. And this one, I drove past 2 days ago. And it's on, it's right on the border of Desert Hot Springs and MS, Metropolitan Water District, Southern California land. And, you know, it does fall within our purview. I think we need to address illegal dumping. I know we do it. We talk about it a lot. We do what we can, but I do see it getting out of hand, and I want to just plant the seed that maybe a future agenda item could be just a discussion of tactics that we can take, efforts we can make. I was happy to report that I got the folks at Metropolitan Water District to negotiate now with the Desert Valley Disposal for periodic patrols and cleanup of their land along the Colorado River Aqueduct that runs through the backside of Desert Hot Springs. They've got quite a few access roads out there that people go out and dump stuff on. And they're in the process now of negotiating a periodic pickup from and patrol with Desert Valley Disposal. Much the same way we in the city do, we pay extra to have a roving truck from DVD just patrol the city and pick up stuff daily. We all love our desert lands. That's one of the reasons why serving on this commission is such a joy, and it's also such a challenge. And so when you see things like that, which I stumbled across 2 days ago as I was coming back across the valley when Gene Autry was closed for our blowing sand issue, I had to take the long way around through Long Canyon and did a U-turn and went back and looked at that and dug around in it to see if I could find any information on who it was, you know, thinking back to Alice's restaurant and Arlo Guthrie and the envelope at the bottom of the half a ton of garbage. And unfortunately, we didn't find anything on that. But I think there's got to be a full-fledged effort by all of us in the desert cities to address this. And I'm at a loss to figure out why. I have a lot of expertise here in front of me with all of you who have lived in the desert a lot longer than I have and been involved in public policy in the desert longer than I have. So I wanted to plant that seed and hope that, you know, somewhere down the road in the fall, we can maybe have some sort of a robust discussion and see what avenues we can go to address that. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Please feel free to connect directly with Gary and or with Tom on this particular topic. And you have BIRTEC in your area as well. Do they cover DHS or is it waste management?
We have Desert Valley Disposal or
Desert Palm Valley Disposal.
Yeah, so okay. They do us and Palm Springs.
Okay. Maybe there's a partnership or additional communication outreach bulk item pickup day or something that we could venture into.
Gary, you might get a hold of, and that almost sounds like it's in my district too, but it's real close between Manny's and mine. We have, like, for instance, Saturday, we're going to be doing a cleanup down in Nuevo. I do a lot of them in Cabazon and Whitewater. So I'll talk to you more later, see if we can get something going. We get a certain amount of bins, you know, every year, each district. And if it gets, you know, really bad, then we can get down there and get some of that cleaned up. But it does bother me every time I see a picture of those couches, and they're better than the ones I have in my, you know, living room. So, you know, it's.
Well, there's several of them out here, so feel free to come on out.
Yeah, have a first come, first serve thing or something. But no, seriously, that's maybe we can get something going. Get in line for some of those bins. All right.
Great idea. Okay. With no other business discussed or any other further comments, thank you very much for your time today. And we do have, for those that will be joining us at 12, we have an exciting E&E agenda planned as well. And with that, I'll adjourn our meeting. Thank you so much.
We're not back till September, right?
Correct. September 9th. Yes.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.